Now I'm joined with Rachel Darcy from Dublin Gazette to talk about main stories and current issues from City and Fingal editions. Good afternoon, Rachel, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Johnny. How are you keeping?
Very good. And how are yourself?
Not too bad at all things considered. Not too bad.
That's good, yes, in fact. First of all, Rachel, it seems that taxi drivers are now being hard hit in our current conditions. Tell us more about it.
Yes, so we've taken a look at this a little bit in depth in this week's City edition and indeed the West and South editions as well. Taxi drivers obviously are self-employed for the most part and they've been quite hard hit with the closure of pubs, flights shutting down. We did a couple of vox pops there with people at the Dundrum Lewis stop and people are saying they don't want to get taxis. People are quite cautious of who they're coming into contact with. So obviously taxi drivers are one of the hardest hit in this situation. We spoke to Vinnie Kearns, who's the chief executive of Expert Taxis, and he said there's kind of nothing really on offer for the drivers at the minute, but obviously they still have to keep going. They still have to keep trying. Expert Taxis in particular, they work with a lot of hospitals, and obviously at the minute hospitals are burdened down, laden down with people coming in and out, so they have, as he said, a moral obligation to continue working. But any driver that works out at the airport, any driver that kind of frequents town hoping to pick up people coming home from nights out, they're all being particularly hard hit at the minute.
Yes, exactly. With the bars and pubs being closed, you know, that's going to have a very heavy impact on the need for taxis, especially in the late hours of the night and early mornings. Also, I guess many out there who would normally use a taxi are reluctant to do so now, as you just said earlier, due to distancing procedures. I guess there's also the case where passengers are concerned about whether or not the previous passenger could have been infected unknowns to them, and they are reluctant. On a good note, though, I believe the NTA are asking all drivers to abide by the HSE guidelines. Would that be right?
Yes, they are indeed. Yeah. Yes, the NTA and then obviously taxi apps as well, Link and Free now, definitely, potentially others as well, are asking for all drivers to sanitise their vehicles, to try and keep their own hands sanitised, where possible, ask passengers to sit in the back seat. So they are taking the measures to hopefully keep the taxi industry up and running for the time being. But as for everyone at the minute, everything's are quite precarious. You don't know what's going to happen next week, even next couple of days. But hopefully it all works out now in the next few days that they can keep operating, keep things moving.
Yes, well, on a much better note, there's also a very interesting topic in relation to legendary chipper owner Leo Burdock. He actually put his life on the line during the time of the Black and Tans. Would you like to touch briefly on that for us? There's a very very interesting write-up on it.
Yes, so this was covered by my colleague Paul Conlon there. Leo Burdock took part in attacks on the Black and Tans back in the day. Yeah, it's quite an interesting little story. I'm not quite sure how he came across it himself. I do believe it was through the military service pensions collection records. But the files that have been released through that relate to 1,576 veterans during the revolution. And yeah, it's quite interesting. Now, we have all the story up on our website there with a link to the military archives. I had a little bit of a look myself through it, and there's a lot of quite interesting information in it. Like, obviously, Leo Burdock talks about his parents, Bella Burdock and Patrick Burdock, who set up the first chipper, and in 1913 during the War of Independence. And it says in those records that their son Leo took part in a number of attacks on the Crown forces in the city centre. So it is quite interesting reading. It's something you wouldn't particularly think about, that there is this sort of past, this legendary chipper. But yeah, great to see, look at our history, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of people never knew that. And actually, you know, he does the best chips in the whole of Dublin. And I'd say 90% of the population of Dublin would agree with me. Rachel, yeah. Tell us about this week's Dog of the Week. He's Matthew, isn't he? He's a one-year-old Saluki cross.
I'm looking at a picture of him right now. He's a gorgeous little fella. He's a Saluki cross, so he's up there in Dogs Trust in Finglas, waiting for his forever home. He's quite a sensitive little dog by all accounts, apparently. He has a lot of insecurities and is a little bit nervous of the world around him. But when he's with other dogs, he seems to come out of his shell quite a good bit. So Dogs Trust are encouraging anyone who has another dog that's looking to take on another dog to come down and visit Matthew. He'd need an adult-only home. He wouldn't be great with kids, but he'd be great around adults and indeed other dogs as well. But yeah, he's a lovely little fella. Definitely a smiley little chap when you get him on his own or get him with the company of other dogs. So yeah, he's a lovely little pet there. Dogs choked up and tingling.
He's very, very cute, actually. I'd take him myself if I was able to, but I couldn't. So Dublin Gazette, they've teamed up with Dog Trust, in fact, to help find homes for abandoned dogs. That's how it works, isn't it?
Yes. So every week we have a different dog of the week, a different little dog looking for his forever home. So definitely something to check out on both our website and in the centre section of our papers weekly if you're in the market for a new pet or indeed want to take on a dog for the first time.
Excellent. And in this week's review, Ronan Farrell's Catch and Kill. It reads like a real-life thriller, doesn't it? Tell us briefly a bit more about it.
Yeah, so it's quite a fitting review this week. Obviously, Harvey Weinstein, the disgraced media mogul, as he could be called, was sentenced to 23 years in prison last week. And Ronan Farrell, who's the son of legendary Hollywood man himself, Woody Allen, has come out with this book basically in recounting his own investigation into Weinstein, because he was one of the people who took him down, realistically, who kind of brought the whole story to light there. Began back in 2016 with Farrell working for NBC News freelance investigating Weinstein. So he had a huge role in it, and this book is just kind of detailing everything he occurred on his journey to kind of exposing what was going on behind the scenes that you, me, or the general public wouldn't think about unless they were in the know. The behaviour obviously described in the book can be a little bit distressing, but it's painted in such a way that you're kind of like, you wouldn't believe it's real life almost. It is like a thriller, a fiction thriller, but when you kind of realise this is all very real stuff, it's a little bit harrowing, but it's a fantastic read, absolutely.
Lovely. And last week, Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, they announced they are collaborating with 20 of Ireland's TikTokers in an effort to educate young people on consent. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're familiar with TikTok or what TikTok is.
I'm not actually, no.
So TikTok is an app. You can make short videos on it on anything you want, really. Now, there's a lot of dancing, a lot of comedy, a lot of funny videos to lighten the mood, which I know I've been indulging in during this lovely little quarantining period. But Dublin Rape Crisis Centre are taking on a new edge to it, if you like. So they've teamed up with 20 of Ireland's biggest content creators on the platform for this new hashtag 100 consent campaign. So teaming up with these creators, they're creating these TikToks, these small little videos encouraging people to educate themselves on consent, to learn more about consent, really, on the whole. The 20 TikTokers that are involved in this, they have a following of nearly 3 million people, 3 million young people specifically, with Dublin Rape Crisis Centre hoping that by reaching out to people on this platform, which is quite an innovative thing, I haven't seen any other charity doing it just yet, but they're hoping they'll be able to target young people specifically to learn about consent and when the right time is to say yes and no. And it's a really good initiative, and it's fair play to all the TikTokers that got involved in this, because they've been creating some fantastic little videos on it. I've seen it there, and it's really just driving the message home that consent is 100% important. 100% consent is their play on 100%. So it's a great campaign, and definitely one that I hope will stand to Dublin Rape Crisis Centre going forward.
Yes, it sounds great. Also, Gardaí, they've acquired extra vehicles to help with community engagement.
Yes, 210 extra cars they've hired out to hopefully help communities across the country, and indeed here in Dublin and on the north side of Dublin as well. It's to be seen exactly what they're going to do with them. I do believe that they're going to be kind of trying to help the most vulnerable in society, so the elderly, people who might be immunocompromised, things like that, just generally engaging with the community to make things a little bit smoother as the country goes through this pandemic. So it's great to see the Gardaí taking quick and swift action on this, and hopefully it does pay off, and that, fingers crossed, this all passes with the help of our frontline forces like the Gardaí, like the health service workers, indeed.
Yeah, it's all heading in the right direction. And another one heading in the right direction, Guinness, they've announced funding to support communities affected by COVID-19. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so they've established a fund of 1.5 million euro. So 1.2 million of that is going to support bar staff, obviously with bars and pubs and clubs closed across the country. A lot of people are struggling now financially, having lost jobs, having been put on temporary layoffs. So that money is going to go towards helping them out in this time. And then another 300,000 is going to go towards Alone, who are a charity who help older people who've recently extended their opening hours for the elderly in this time. It's a great initiative, and fair play to Guinness donating this much money to something that's really needed at the minute. I know there's a lot of bar staff out there who find themselves struggling to figure out how to pay rent, how things are going to happen for them over the next 2 or 3 weeks or however long this may go on for. So it's a fantastic initiative on their part.
Yes, very much welcomed. And also welcomed very much is Croke Park. They've agreed to make 330 car parking spaces free for the Mater Hospital staff. Tell us about that.
And this is a lovely little story. So Croke Park and Dublin Bus as well, who are playing a big hand in this, have opened up the parking there in the stadium to staff working in the Mater Hospital. So the way it works is you'll be able to go in, park if you're working in the Mater, and then Dublin Bus will be running a shuttle between Croke Park and the Mater Hospital quite regularly, actually. Between 7 and 10 a.m. it's going to be every 15 minutes, and then from 4:15 to 7:15, I believe, will be every 15 minutes as well. So it's great for those who may have been forced to pay parking in the past, for those who might be forced to work overtime, who don't know what the situation is going to unfold for them really once they step in the door of the hospital. So it's fantastic to see Croke Park and Dublin Bus indeed stepping up to offer this out to healthcare workers in a time that they're doing fantastic things. Really, it's great.
Yeah, it's very welcomed in a time of crisis. And finally, Rachel, Alone, who we've just mentioned a few moments ago, they've extended opening hours of COVID-19 phone line for older people. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yeah, so they've been getting quite a high level of calls, which has led to this extension in their opening hours. Obviously, elderly people, as we've been told time and time again, are one of the most vulnerable people as we go through this pandemic. So obviously Alone have been getting a lot of calls from people looking for support. So they have extended their opening hours and indeed added extra staff as well to meet this demand. They're also expecting phone calls to increase further, which hopefully they'll be able to handle all this demand now. I'd say they will. They're a great charity, fantastic for helping people out. But they've extended their opening hours for anyone who needs someone to chat to, someone to basically have an ear at this trying time. And if you want, I can give you the phone number for Alone as well, if anyone has concerns about their own well-being or even the well-being of an older person that they may know. That number is 0818 222 024, with more information available on alone.ie.
So I'll repeat that, 0818 222 024.
Yes, that's it, exactly.
Excellent. Right, so we're going to leave it at that, Rachel, and thank you very much for all the information and for joining us today. And all the very best to you, and take care, especially at such short notice. We only got on to you yesterday. So thanks again for that.
No bother at all. Thanks a million, Jolly.
All the best. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, that was Rachel Darcy, Dublin Gazette. She was telling us main stories and current issues from their City and Fingal editions.